There's gonna be hockey in 13 days. That's less than 2 weeks.
Welcome to episode 24 of Frosty Talks. I'm your host, Dylan Ryan, alongside Phil Buckets. Got a great episode for you, but before we do that, let's get into how we're doing. How you been, Buckets?
I've been doing good, man. Starting to slow down a little bit out here as far as the fishing goes. So, I mean, that's been nice to be able to kind of chill out, not running around like a crazy person as much out in the heat. It's been hot out here.
Hot and humid as hell, I imagine, on an island.
Yeah, that's a thing. Like the heat brings in rain in some instances. So like it'll rain and then the next day it's like even muggier out. So it's honestly brutal some days, but no, it's awesome out here.
There was one day I swear it was like maybe 30% humidity out here and I thought I was dying. I was like, Jesus, Dude. It's if it's not dry air, I can't survive it.
Yeah, yesterday we had 85% humidity, I think. It was 88 degrees out. It said it felt like 102. And I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I can tell. How'd your betting go? You said you watched a fight last weekend?
Yeah, the first round of fights on Fight Island. There's more tonight, Wednesday. But yeah, I threw down some money. I was doing good through the first four fights, I'd say. And then I was up like $200, and then of course I live bet like most of that because I was feeling good, and then I just lost all of it. But yeah, it was fun. It's nice to see some sort of entertainment on TV.
And, live entertainment, for that matter, yeah. That you can bet on.
It is weird without having a crowd and all that, but I mean. It was crazy. They're landing some punches, and you just hear like broken noses and crazy. So crazy.
I've never really gotten into like the UFC stuff. How many like fights do they usually do on those big cards?
I don't know if it's any different now than they used to because of everything that's going on. But they'll have like three preliminary fights before like the main cards, which is like lower end. I mean, they're still professional fighters, but like not the big names, you know. And then they'll do anywhere between like four to six fights on like the main card. And those are all like pretty, pretty lit fights. Like there was one girl fight. It was this girl, something, her name's Rose. She's from Denver, Colorado. She won the fight. Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, I heard her nickname's like Thug or something like that. It's like Thug Rose. I'm like, I'd bet on her to win.
She's badass, dude. She won me some money.
Well, yeah, when your nickname in the MMA is Thug, like, you're probably going to win a few fights.
Yeah, she's nasty. She's got, like, a buzzed head. She's scary, dude. She'd mess me up.
Right, whoop both of our asses.
At the same time, yeah.
Yeah. Jeez. So, went up a shitload, lost it all. That's gambling.
Usually how it goes.
Yeah.
I was feeling good.
I have not done nearly as well on my gambling picks since the ponies on the 4th of July weekend, or no, not the 4th of July, on the Belmont. I tried to bet on the ponies on the 4th of July and not nearly as well.
Your reign of terror ended a little early.
My reign of terror lasted one race.
That's all right.
And it was a
made some money.
Good. Yeah.
Felt good. There you go. Made it that much more exciting.
I think if I just get I got a ton of luck in, like that's probably the best bet I'll have hit for a long time, unless I just keep betting on the ponies. And then when the NHL playoffs actually hit, all my bad luck will be gone and I'm just going to nail every single bet for the playoffs. That's my hope.
That would be ideal. I like your thinking.
I think it's logical.
You're remaining positive.
Yeah. If I fail astronomically all the way up until the playoffs on my betting, which means I will be betting on baseball because I have no idea what I'm doing, so I need to fail there so I can be better on the NHL. That's how it works.
There you go. I mean, that would be ideal.
Maybe. Yeah. Might work.
So we'll keep the bets coming, per usual, because we're gamblers and we're you know, I'd say that we're probably a little bit addicted to that aspect of entertainment. So
I have gotten, I've gotten into day trading to get like some kind of fix on sports gambling, because it's damn near the same thing, except that you need $25,000 to actually day trade. And I found that out the hard way almost.
Yeah, which is kind of a fucked up.
It's a sham.
Because, yeah. You gotta have money to potentially make money. In most cases, you're probably losing money, but
I was up about 20% on the day without doing actual day trading, because I started selling off a bunch and buying a bunch. And then I got a notification on my account saying, you're about to be classified as a day trader. If you don't have $25,000 in your account, we're suspending you. And I was like, well, there goes that fun.
Fun while lasted.
Unless someone wants to donate $25,000 to me so I can manage their portfolio, then the day trading is going to have to taper off a little bit.
Not taking applications for a bookie for you.
I will be your stocks bookie. I will also be your actual bookie.
There you go.
We will.
Bookie man over here.
Hey, well, I've done well on making money off of stocks and gambling. So,
you know, the only issue is I don't know if you have credentials to kind of get people to come on over to you, but you know, it's worth a shot.
I have zero credentials. I just have a good gut feeling on the stocks, and that's it. Yeah. That's all you need sometimes.
Sure.
Sometimes.
Shit. Well, should we get some hockey?
Yeah, I was like, well, we were talking about our bets, how I'm going to hammer the puck line for every single game. And God, the NHL's looking like a lot of fun.
It's awesome. When they came out with the exhibition game schedule, dude, I almost nutted in my pants.
Because I was just like, wait a minute, I don't have to wait till August 1st, actually. I can watch the Avalanche on the 28th or any game on the 28th. Like,
There's going to be hockey in 13 days. That's less than 2 weeks.
Our next episode will be the last episode we will have without hockey. We did it. We made it through a life without sports. It hurt. It hurt a lot.
It was brutal, but hey, we're looking forward to sports. So yeah. I got the schedule right here for those exhibition games on Tuesday. July 28th, the Penguins are facing off against the Flyers, 4 o'clock Eastern.
That'll be fun.
Toronto against the Canadiens, 8 o'clock Eastern.
Also fun.
And Edmonton against Calgary, 10:30 Eastern.
That's an exhibition game?
Yeah.
They knew that everyone in the NHL wanted the Battle of Alberta as an actual playoff series, and since we were robbed of that, they're like, fine, exhibition it is.
Like, we'll give you the scrap one more time until playoffs.
I almost
and dude, the next day there's 6 games.
There's jeez. Yeah. Day one of the playoffs is like 5 games, and then it's 6. Then it's 6 again, and then it's 5. It's nuts. There's 52 potential games in 10 days.
Yeah, it's gonna be fucked. Absolutely fucked. So yeah, that day, 12 o'clock Eastern is Tampa Bay and Florida. Ooh, Lightning against Panthers.
What a fun way to start off the playoffs, you know?
And then the boys, the Colorado Avalanche against the Wild, 2:30 Eastern. The Hurricanes against the Capitals, 4 o'clock Eastern. And then the Blues against the Blackhawks, 6:30 Eastern. And then we got the Oilers against the Rangers, 8 o'clock. Mm. And the Canucks against the Jets, 10:30.
So essentially, each team will play at least one exhibition game.
Yeah.
No, that's good. I mean, they'd have to have an even playing foot there. And I'm just excited for that exhibition of the Battle of Alberta. I feel like that's going to be very intense for an exhibition game. Actually, I think all these games are going to be intense. These guys haven't skated in what'll end up being like 140 something days, like as an actual game. Like they're gonna. I feel like they'll take it serious. they're not going to track up so hard where they could get hurt, but.
Yeah, I just hope no one gets hurt. I mean, they're going to be going hard. Like, they're playing for the cup at this point, so, I mean.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been watching all the training camp videos. All the teams are looking pretty good right now. They all look fresh.
Nathan MacKinnon came out in an interview yesterday saying that this is the first time in his career that he feels like they have an actual shot, like with everyone being healthy and that chemistry back, you know?
Well,
so it could be good, man.
I mean, I think Mikko Rantanen will probably end up having the biggest impact on the playoffs just because he was not around very much during the regular season, and now he's going to be fully healthy, ready to go for the playoffs. And I don't really see that team missing much of a beat because they didn't miss a beat without the players. Imagine adding them back in.
Well, the only player that is not suit to play is Colin Wilson still. He hasn't skated once yet this year.
Yeah, that's a bummer. I mean, with the Avalanche, though, they were able to bring in Bowen Byram. He drove like 22 hours to Denver from Vancouver just so that he could play. And he came out.
Is he playing in the playoffs?
He came out and said he's going to attempt to make a roster spot, not just come out for training camp.
And let's go.
God, I want to see that.
That would be awesome.
Imagine if Boehm also scores in the first period of his first NHL game.
That's what I was saying. What if we get a repeat like last year? Bowen Byram just starts feasting first game.
Every single NHL team would just be like, what do we do to deserve this? Like, they have Kale. Now they get Boehm too. Like, that's just not fair. That's my dream.
Just Joe Sakic's a wizard. Nothing else.
He's a wizard. We've said it before. We'll say it again. He is a wizard.
Yeah, so those are the exhibition games. I'm not sure what the round robin's really looking like. I'm sure that's all out. But
I finally figured out what the hell's going on with the round robin. So each team will play each other once. So the Avs will go through all the other round robins. I think they play the Avalanche play the Blues first, and then they go play the Knights, and then they play who's the other team? Minnesota's their exhibition. Who is the top four on the Western side? Avalanche, the Blues, the Knights. I'm missing. I don't know.
Oh, Dallas.
Thank you. And then they will also play Dallas. So three out of the four are from the Central on the. Good division. And then same on the Eastern side as well. Bruins and Lightning.
Capitals. Capitals, Lightning, and. Rangers maybe?
It wasn't the Rangers. It was the Flyers, I believe.
Oh, yeah. That would make sense.
Eastern Conference sometimes is a mystery to us Western Conference analysts.
Yeah.
Some things that have been announced along with the NHL. We got 6 years of labor peace from the CBA, and that's official. Everything's official. We're playing hockey. It's actually happening. But now we also have the Ted Lindsay Award, which is like the MVP. It's Nate Dogg, Nathan MacKinnon, Artemi Panarin, and Leon Draisaitl for that.
I think it's going to be a close race. I don't really know who's going to win that one. I think it very well could be Nathan MacKinnon.
I think it very well could. I think it's going to be a dog fight between Draisaitl and MacKinnon. Frosty Talks Twitter, we ran a poll. Go follow them at Frosty_Talks. And Leon Draisaitl ended up winning on that. It was like he had 50% of the votes. Nathan MacKinnon had the next like 40, and then 10% went to Panarin. I think he 100% deserves to be in the conversation because of how good the Rangers were, you know? But I don't think he's going to end up being able to win it just the way Nathan MacKinnon.
Well, and I think something else that works in his favor is that he was traded from Columbus, I think it was. And I mean, immediately made a difference on that team.
Yeah. That everything about Panarin's season says, like, this guy needs to be on the list. It's just his team isn't quite as successful as the Oilers, and it's not nearly as successful as the Avalanche. So it's kind of hard to say, well, yeah, the Rangers were good, obviously, because of Panarin. But the Avalanche and the Oilers were also really, really good, and you can pin it on those two guys for them, Draisaitl and MacKinnon, for their teams.
Well, yeah, I mean, it kind of goes into Nathan MacKinnon too. I mean, he kind of carried the Avs through the season. Like, he was the one healthy player that was there. Oh, it's, he stayed producing. And
here we go.
Yeah, when everyone was dropping like flies, I mean, he was still there. He was the guy, you know, always will be.
I mean, he had 43 more points than the next highest player, which was Cale Makar, and he's in the Calder Trophy race. So
those candidates are also locked in.
Yeah, those candidates are also locked in as well. That is Cale Makar, obviously. Quinn Hughes was the other very obvious finalist. The one that Dominic. I was surprised about Dominic Kubalik. I was a little shocked there.
The Senators. I just hadn't really heard much about him.
He's on the Blackhawks.
Is he on the Blackhawks?
Blackhawks, yeah.
Oh, shoot. I thought he was on the Senators.
Nah, I mean, he had 30 goals. Dominic Kubalik did play extremely well. He had 30 goals, I think like 13 assists. But, man, I would have put Elvis Merzlikas as my third pick for the finalist.
You think so?
I would have put him as the third for that 8-game stretch where he averaged like 0.88 goals allowed and had 5 shutouts in 8 games. I've been like,
I just feel like it's hard to kind of depict like his true, I mean, because it's positional, you know, like both Quinn Hughes and Cale Makar, defenseman. I think
Kubalik's
a forward. But yeah, I mean, he definitely made an impact on that team. And if they had like a rookie goalie award, like definitely him.
Oh, easily.
I mean, it's just kind of hard to kind of weigh in that impact when their positions are so different.
Well, yeah, and with Merzlikas, like that 5 shutouts in 8 games, like that's video game stats, man. Like that's nuts. I think, and he did well throughout the entire season. But I do have to agree with you. It's easier to say, well, Cale, Quinn, and Kubalik, they all score points, man. Like, that's what they do. So it's really easy to compare them based off of that. When you're the guy stopping the goals, you almost want to just have your own category for it. I would put down for a rookie goaltender award. That'd be pretty
interesting.
Cool. Mm-hmm. That would be. Probably
you would have had that by a long shot. That wouldn't have even been close, I don't think.
Oh, not even. Not even close. I can't even. Oh, Eagle, one of the Rangers goalies, he's a rookie. He's been doing pretty well, but yeah. If I can't remember his name, clearly he ain't as good as Elvis.
Is Igor some crazy last name, I'm pretty sure. I know you're talking about them.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, he's good. He is very good, but I just
while we're on goalies still, did you see that Corey Crawford was ruled unfit to play?
Really? I did not.
Yeah. I was very surprised by that. So I don't know what's going on. Whether he's not healthy or wasn't training at all, or
well, so this so the new CBA for this current the return to play, the NHL is just not going to tell anybody why their players are unfit to play. It could be that Corey Crawford had gotten like sick and he needs to recover still. It could be that he's injured. It could be literally anything. Like, they don't have to tell us. Well, unless Crawford says like, yeah, I'm unfit to play because I have COVID, then we'll not know. I don't think that's it, but
it's likely.
Could be.
Yeah, so that kind of caught my eye. I thought that was interesting.
That will be very interesting. I mean, the Blackhawks are a team that
they rely on goaltending.
Yeah, they would have to rely on goaltending. They're not a high scoring team where if they let in 2 goals, they're going to be able to put up another 3 to 4 to top it. I just don't see that being their game.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see who they pull out to replace him. It'll be interesting to see how they end up doing. And yeah, it's something definitely caught my eye.
And once again, teams are allowed to have as many goalies as they want during training camp. So at least they're not like down a man. They're just down their best goaltender. But at least they don't have to say like, well, now we're only running with 1 goalie or something like that. They have their backups at least.
They'll have someone to hop in there. In training camps, I think they have 4 or 5 goalies. So, I mean, they'll be able to see who's ready to play, who's ready to compete.
Who do you think's going to end up? We're still on the goalies. Who do you think's going to be in net for the Avalanche? Because Philip Grubauer and Pavel Francouz both played pretty well this year. I mean, we had our grievances with Grubauer multiple times throughout the year, but throughout the entirety of it, I would consider it a good year.
I think it'll definitely come down to who's looking better in this training camp, like who looks, you know, just overall ready to be playing. I'm thinking it'll probably be Grubauer. You'll probably see Grubauer in that first game. And then, I mean, depending on how he plays, yeah, I think they'll be riding on Grubauer.
I would not be surprised if during the exhibition and round robin, those two almost split time just to see, because the Avs can't, they could lose every single game of that round robin. They won't, but they could, and they would still be in the playoffs. So if you're going to say like, all right, well, we still don't know who our starting goaltender is because both of them are so good, round robin's a pretty safe place to say, all right, well, this is where we're going to do it. We're going to figure out who's better.
See how these guys are feeling. See how they look on the ice with their boys. And yeah, it comes down to confidence and just whoever looks ready to play. So, I mean, yeah, I think you're right.
I think it'll end up being Grubauer, but like I said, I wouldn't be shocked if they end up kind of tandeming it between the round robin, just because training camp speed and game day speed are two different animals, you know?
Well, and they've also haven't skated in 3 months, you know? So, I mean.
Oh, yeah, that's obvious as well. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I cannot wait. I have like a counter. I got to change it now. I got to change it for the counter for when the Avs do their exhibition game instead of when the playoffs actually start. But, God, both are great opportunities to win a lot of money and have a damn good time.
I'm getting antsy.
I am very – I'm so antsy. I have been on such a roller coaster of emotions on whether or not sports would actually come back. And I think I can finally say it's like, you know what? We're going to do this. We're going to be able to do it. It's going to happen.
It's happening. Did you see the Adams Award finalists?
Oh, go for it.
Best coach?
Oh, best coach. Okay. Yeah.
So Bruce Cassidy with the Bruins.
Yeah, okay.
John Tortorella with the Blue Jackets, which I was kind of surprised by.
That one I kind of a little bit understand, but
– and Flyers head coach Alain Vigneault. I think that's his name.
God, I mean, it probably is. We'll call it Vigneault. Close enough.
Which, I mean, I agree with that one too, because, I mean, they overcame some adversity with the whole Lindholm situation.
Okay. And they were good.
They were on a tear. Yeah, yeah, they were playing phenomenally, which, again, I was kind of surprised by the Blue Jackets.
The Blue Jackets, I think their coach is probably on that list because, man, they were ravaged by injuries and they were still able to just keep afloat, you know? And when you can just sneak into the playoffs with one of the worst injury teams in the league, like, that's impressive as a coach. Mm-hmm. Be able to get the players to do what they need to when they don't have the best guys on the ice, that's impressive. Now, the Bruins... What's their coach's name again?
Bruce Cassidy.
I mean, I'd put the Penguins coach up there well before I'd put Bruce Cassidy up there. Bruins did not deal with injuries quite like the Penguins did. I mean, the Penguins lost Crosby for like a month and a half.
Let me make sure.
Yeah, I feel like Bruce Cassidy being on that seems weird. Yeah,
it is Bruins head coach.
That seems odd. Bruins were good, like really good. They won the President's Trophy, which is good for everyone that isn't a Bruins fan because that trophy is cursed to hell. But they didn't have like a ton of injuries. I mean, they were the best team. So best coach,
I guess so.
He wasn't fired at all?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Was it because he wasn't fired, wasn't involved in any scandals or anything? Like, it's been a weird year for coaches. A lot of them got fired. I feel like the list is a little bit shorter.
You think there's a lot of different aspects that would go into.
You would think Jared Bednar would have gotten some kind of consideration with the injuries the Avalanche.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. It's just, now if there's a GM
of the now, yeah.
That's Joe Sakic.
It's Joe Sakic. We will
hands down.
We'll find a campaign to get Joe Sakic his award for this year. We'll figure it out. Maybe t-shirts. Joe Sakic as a wizard.
Joe Sakic with a little wizard hat on.
Like yeah, it. And his wizard staff is actually just an oversized hockey stick.
Perfect.
Beautiful. We'll get him like the that. Award. I'll send you a shirt, Jared.
Joe and Jared can get shirts.
Joe and Jared will both. Yeah. That would be awesome. We still got, we'll do the Calder Trophy shirt the second Kale wins. Because once again, ran a poll on Frosty Talks Twitter. Kale McCarr won in a landslide, actually. 80% to 20%.
Yeah. And I think the media is kind of hyping it up between Kale and Quinn Hughes just to make it seem closer. I know I'm biased, but they want it to be kind of a dogfight. And like, I just don't see it going down like that, dude.
I think there's a chance we're very surprised. Maybe there's got to be like a way to like bet on that. I'm still, like I said, I put a lot of money down on Kale McCarr winning it all, but we'll have to see. I think, when are they, any idea when they actually end up announcing that?
It'll probably be after playoffs.
That would be my guess. So we got another like month and a half of us debating on whether or not Quinn Hughes or Kale McCarr will win the Calder and who's going to win the Ted Lindsay Award.
And also, I mean, that would allow you to kind of further analyze the players, like while they're playing.
That's smart. I mean, let's say the Canucks are eliminated first round, or you know they make it through, they squeeze by, and then they're eliminated in the next round, and Quinn Hughes doesn't do anything. Well, you can instantly say, well, Kale McCarr's playoff experience is a lot better, and he ends up winning the award, or vice versa. Could be either way.
That would be horrible if vice versa were to happen. But
I would, yeah, it would be horrible to watch the Avalanche get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. But oh my, I don't see it happening.
That would be brutal.
I just really also don't want to be cold takes exposed for saying there's no way the Avs lose the first round of the playoffs. But you know what? There's no way. There's just no way.
I can't let this happen.
I will not let it. I can't let it happen. My brain will not allow me to think anything other than the Avalanche are making it at least to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
It's my only train of thought that I have on the Avs. And I might be greatly disappointed, and I will be broken from it. But until just, then, I'm having a good time.
Yeah, I'm just not preparing for that outcome. It can't end like that. Not after all this waiting.
No. Oh, yeah, there's going to be so many fans that think, oh, my team might actually have a shot, and then they're going to get steamrolled after waiting 3 months to watch hockey. Oh, that's going to be so rough.
But then, hey, it'll start up again in a few months, and we'll be good.
Yeah, even if your team's eliminated in that play-in round, well, the next round is another 16 teams of hockey. It's going to be two full rounds of just 10-hour days of hockey coverage. It's going to be lit.
And I don't think I'm even going to be able to watch all of it between work.
I'm going to have to find a way to record some of the games so I can keep up with it all. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way that I'm going to be able to make it through every single game and not have overlap or not pass out drunk or something or something.
Well, you already know that like highlights and all that are going to be all over social media because fucking sports are back.
But oh my gosh. The day sports like really starts coming back and like we have multiple leagues going at the same time, Twitter and social media is going to be nuts. We're going to just only have like all sports content, and it's going to just be the greatest escape from 2020 that I could have possibly imagined.
It's going to be insanity.
So much fun. You want to get into the NFL?
Yeah, sure. I mean, how much do you got?
Well, it's officially official. Washington has no name.
As of today, or what?
It was on Monday. They announced in perfect Dan Snyder asshole fashion, they said the Washington R-Words will be officially retiring their name after a careful deliberation, and they want to let their sponsors, fans, and community know what they're doing. And they will then, and later in the statement, they once again said, we will keep our sponsors, fans, and community at our best interests. So they said twice, sponsors come first. Like, the only reason they changed is sponsors. So they changed on Monday, and prominently after retiring the name, on top of the press release is that logo and that name one last time.
Yep. It's the last time you'll ever see it.
Dan Snyder's like, fuck you all. I want to get it in one more time.
I think they're going to be the Red Wolves.
I have no idea what's going to happen, man. I think from what I've heard, Dan Snyder is in now a legal copyright battle with multiple names. So multiple names that they were going to change to are copyrighted by other people because he didn't get it in time.
Idiot.
Yeah, so the Red Wolves got a shitload of traction on the internet, and everyone's like, that'd actually be pretty fucking dope. And someone's like, yeah, that would be dope. And he bought, and someone else bought the trademark for it. So now he has to fight that. And there's smoke coming out of Washington. I don't know what it is. I have been digging everywhere to try to figure it out. But I think Jeff Bezos is going to buy the Washington Redskins by the end of the week.
You think so?
So the Washington Post says they have, which is now, that is owned by Jeff Bezos. They say they have some like smoking gun, some like shit thing that Dan Snyder did back in the past or did recently. Not really sure because I don't know. But they say they have some weird smoking gun on Dan Snyder, and they were going to release the article on Tuesday. Now it's supposed to come out Thursday. And I don't know, but I think something's not right in Washington.
So it's going to be the Washington Amazon.
The Washington Primes.
Optimist Washington Primes.
I think the Washington Primes would be fine. I saw an idea of, say, screw it, the XFL's never coming back. Just call them the DC Defenders. Everyone liked that name.
Sorry. But yeah.
I think that'd be good. Be awesome. I think we're going to end up seeing...
have to buy that name for a hefty amount.
I think we're going to end up seeing some weird shit out of the Washington team. It's going to be nuts. The play-by-play announcer, he quit. So, and he's been there longer than Dan Snyder has, I think.
Really?
So that's not a good sign.
He's just in a pickle, and I don't know what the hell he's going to do.
I still think he's going to end up just naming them the, like, DC Redskins or some shit like that. The DC something. There's going to be DC something slightly less racist. That's the name.
They're starting to dog on the Tar Heels. Although I don't really know what the issue with that is. I guess I just need to look it up.
I'd have to Google that one. I don't get that. Isn't the foot blue?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. I don't have
the issues with that. But I guess people are getting upset now. Now that people are changing their names.
I mean, I think the only one that really, really needed to be changed was the Washington name. I mean, you can make arguments for several other teams, but there wasn't much of an argument on why Washington should have kept their name.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's history. And it's like, well, you still have those Super Bowls on your resume. The team name's just different, dude. Like, the players don't go away or anything because the team name's different. The team's still there. The history is still there. You just don't have a really bad name anymore.
Yeah. Like, everything's the same except for the name? Like, how much pride do you really have in a name that is bashed so hard? So,
and one, the team has been bad under that name for like 20 years, like
two decades. Yeah.
Yeah. I think at that point it's like, well, they've been just as bad of a team as they have been good. It's fine. Just change the name. Just get it over with. Just do it.
That was a situation where that, whereas he could have just succumbed to like the initial concerns like a decade ago, it feels like now, probably.
And this probably wouldn't be that big of a story, I think, if he had just said, yeah, we're going to change it 10 years ago. We would have been like, ah, cool. It was about time. But now it's
it would have costed him less money, and we would have already had 10 years as the new logo, and he might have, I don't know, just get out of that mess.
The Redskins are a mess. That team is a mess. Dan Snyder's an asshole. And I don't know. I think Bezos is going to buy the team. I think he's going to buy it.
Something.
How does that man with that much money not own a sports team? Like, you could buy the NFL. But we're just going to say, hey, man, just take the worst team in the league and just maybe fix them. Pump some money in. Make them a little
fix
better.
The name. Throw them some money.
He would never have to worry about naming rights on the stadium. He'd be like, yeah, I own 20 different companies, man. I'll just name it myself. It's the Bezos Stadium.
Yeah. Seriously.
So we're finally going to see the Redskins no more. It's done. It's over. It's retired and gone. Which is also gone is the deadline for extensions on the NFL's franchise tagged players. So big one that did get a contract extension was Derrick Henry. Dude got paid today.
Yeah.
4 years, $50 million for a running back. That's pretty good. Not the highest paid running back. That's still Christian McCaffrey, but that's a lot of money.
He got paid, and rightfully so.
Oh, I mean, he quite literally kind of carried the Titans through the playoffs.
And
the regular season.
And opposing defensemen he also carried.
Yeah, he stiff-armed Earl Thomas so hard that he was not scared of his own wife pulling a gun on him. That's how beast of a man Derrick Henry is. He deserved this money.
He ruined Earl Thomas, who was a good defenseman.
A really good defenseman. But, oh my, like, that was bad. Lots of players did not get any extensions. Justin Simmons was the one I was most disappointed as. Broncos and he Justin did, Simmons. He? Huh?
He did get tagged, didn't he?
He signed his franchise tender. He will play under that tender, but this was the last day for them to come to terms on an actual long-term deal. Now, they could get one done during the season. That usually never really – that doesn't happen very often. The other one of note, Dak Prescott. He did not get any kind of extension. He still is going to get paid $31 million to play football, though, this year.
Which is totally fine, I'm sure. I'm sure he's totally fine with that.
I mean, I know he's probably fine with making $31 million for a single year. I know
he wants to be tagged and make even more money, but.
And I saw something. If Dak plays this out smart, he could pull a second Kirk Cousins. So Kirk Cousins got franchise tagged 2 years in a row, got a ton of money out of that, and then had a good year on his last one and signed that mega deal up in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for that 5 years, he was the highest played player in the NFL. So maybe Dak just does the Kirk Cousins route, gets a franchise tag this year, gets another one, leaves Dallas, and gets a nice, nice 3-year deal somewhere else.
Yeah, I think that's probably what's going to end up happening.
I think we might have seen the end of we might be coming to the end of the Dak Prescott era in Dallas. His brother went onto Twitter and just ripped the Cowboys a new one. He's like, I've never been a fan. I was only a fan of the Cowboys when my brother was playing there. Doubt that's going to last any longer after what you guys have done with him.
I was right.
Like, ooh, hot take from Dak's brother.
Well, and the thing is, he hasn't been like an amazing quarterback. So they don't have any real reason to trust him on like, you know, 5 to 10 year contract like they like Patrick Mahomes. But I mean,
like he's been good and he deserves a contract extension. Yeah, he's good. Mm-hmm. He deserves a contract extension, but I'm not giving Dak Prescott 10 years, $500 million.
Yeah.
If I'm signing Dak for 10 years, I'm going to give him like $250 million. I think that's plenty. I think that's a pretty good fucking deal for Dak.
$250 million over 10 years, that's not bad.
Like, that could be guaranteed. Then you incentive it heavily. Say like, hey, if you win us our first championship in the 21st century – we'll give you an extra $20 million. Like, just
then he wants to play good. And then he wants to win games so that he can make that bread.
I
guess sometimes you got to build a nice quarterback, and sometimes that requires giving him some money.
I understand that, like, players get hurt a lot, and they want guaranteed money to, like, make sure that those injuries are covered and everything. But I feel like incentive-heavy contracts just make it a lot – it's team friendlier, allows you to like prove your worth, and you can get probably paid more money based off of incentive performance rather than just base performance.
Well, it makes them want to win more. It makes them want to play better. Not just for the team, but also because they're making so much money.
Because you're like, man, if I win 9 games a year and ball out, man, I'm making a lot of money. But if I win like, you know, 13 games a year, and I ball out even more, they're going to pay me even more? Like, hell yeah, I'm going to work my ass off and keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Incentives just make everything better. I mean, even Patrick Mahomes has a shitload of incentives in that massive contract of his.
He's going to make so much money, dude.
He's going to end up being the richest athlete in sports history probably by the time his contracts are done. Like, I would not – like, he's going to get another, like, mega deal with 2 years left on this current one is my guess. It's just going to be unbelievable.
It'll be interesting to see if it has any factor in how the Chiefs end up doing.
Oh, yeah. Chiefs are going to be good, man. They also – they re-signed their defensive tackle, Frank Clark, to a mega deal. And – kudos to that GM over in Kansas City. They went into this offseason with like no money, no cap space, ended up restructuring some deals, brought 20 of 22 guys back, brought in a fast receiving running back out of LSU, re-signed their Super Bowl MVP and MVP quarterback, and then re-signed their defensive tackle, and they still somehow have cap space.
Seriously. They're just fucking balling out over there.
But the Denver Broncos, who have cap space and want to sign Justin Simmons, can't work out a deal? Like, that just doesn't make sense.
It's unfortunate, but...
It is. It's rather unfortunate. I'm just going to be so sad if the Denver Broncos end up losing Justin Simmons. Like, that's just going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because they have the cap space to pull it off. They need to do it. They should have done it today.
They paid Melvin Gordon, who had never played a snap with them.
Yeah, if you're able to shell out $16 million for Melvin Gordon, a guy who did not play much last year and has not played a snap with the Broncos, but you're not going to sign your all-pro, like, safety, like, that's nuts. That doesn't make sense. It makes me mad.
Yeah. Like I said, they might have other ideas in their brains, but yeah
I mean, right now. I guess we're not paid millions in dollars to run a football team, so what do we know? Maybe there is a grander plan behind it all. It's like, hey, if we don't sign him now, we'll sign him later. Like, we'll get you. Don't worry.
Right.
Maybe.
Let's hope so.
My dream. I'll just spin zone it into thinking, all right, well, they didn't want to sign him this year. They'll know he'll just do well next year. They'll get him on the cheap for 1 year, and then they'll shell out the money when he finally, after his franchise tag is done. There it is. They'll sign him. They're just like, hey, I'm playing the long con here, guys. We want you back. This is a long con. We got to, like, you can't go up to a girl at the bar and say, you want to go home. No, you got to buy her a drink first. You know, you got to, like, schmooze her a little bit. Right now, they're schmoozing. They not signing Justin Simmons, that was buying him a drink at the bar. Now he's going to be like, well, I mean, I think he wants me. I think the Broncos want me. I got to make sure they want me. I'm going to play hard for him. And then, boom, contract. There you go. Later, there's the spin zone.
See, spin zone. That's perfect. That plays out, man. I think it works.
I think it works. I mean, that's all I got with the NFL.
I don't know.
They're chugging along.
For the NFL.
I mean, they're chugging along.
Other than those contracts, but
they did have a few issues with the bubble, or not the bubble. That's the NBA. They're already having issues with their bubble protocols. It's hilarious. Mm-hmm. But they're already having issues with, like, getting testing, which that's not a good sign by any means. But it's the NFL. They'll figure it the fuck out. We will have an NFL season.
Yeah, they'll find a way.
There will be football. I've heard it from executives. I've heard it from everybody. Everyone says there will be football.
Yeah, I think it'll work out.
You just have to have a collective hive mind of saying, yes, there will be football, and then it'll happen.
That's what we did for hockey.
And it worked. We kept saying, we're going to have hockey. Into
existence.
Yeah, yep. You just got to believe that sports will come back with everything you got, and you'll see sports back in about 9 days.
Yes, sir.
Baseball's back in 9. I don't know when the NBA is starting. The way they're breaking the bubble, though, over at the NBA, might not happen. There was a girl that already, she was tweeting out that she already got invited to the bubble.
Jesus. Yeah, I did see that.
These guys are like, oh, there's been debates constantly. It's like, well, can these NBA guys really keep it in their pants for 3 months to finish out the season? And I was like, you know, I don't know. I think I got the answer, though. I'm going to go with probably not. They're already inviting Twitter hoes to the bubble. I don't think they're going to last that long.
I love how she exposed him for that.
Oh, that was hilarious.
So funny.
And then another player, he got caught sneaking out of Disneyland to pick up his takeout order. So now he has to quarantine for 10 days.
It's not going to happen.
Are you breaking out of the bubble for better food, or are you breaking out of the bubble to get laid?
They're probably all doing both.
I think I'm breaking out of the bubble for better food. I've gone stints of time without getting laid, and I could do it again. But I've seen the meal, and I'm pretty sure I got better dorm like food at the dining halls. And these are NBA superstars.
Yeah.
So we'll see. The NBA might not pull it.
We'll see. We'll keep you updated on that.
Man, probably not. I'm not going to pay attention to the NBA. It will come up, and if the Nuggets make it into the finals, then you might hear a little bit of basketball talk.
I'd be okay with that.
I think that's about it. Like I said, basketball's not for me. It's just not my sport, but I will root for my home team, and that's the Nuggets. And if they make it that far, fuck, I'm going to be watching.
Hell yeah.
But only if they make it that far.
Under any other circumstances, I will not be watching.
Pretty much, yeah. I have decided I think I'm going to watch baseball this year a bit, because I think 60 games, I feel like they're just going to be really – I feel like it's going to be more exciting. Just a bit, not a lot.
I think so too.
Plus, it'll hold me off for a couple of days while I wait for the exhibition games to start for the NHL.
Right, exactly. Just killing more time.
Essentially, it's having a good time and killing some time until the NHL and the NFL and just sports in general come back.
Can't wait.
Dude, can't wait. All right, let's end it on a different kind of story. Did you see the Wayfair conspiracy?
Mm-mm.
Dude, okay, do you know what Wayfair is?
Maybe.
So they are one of the largest online, like, furniture retailers in the world. Like, they're the Amazon of furniture. And recently on Twitter, it's gotten tons of traction, and it keeps getting weirder and weirder because there were a bunch of shelves, rugs, and like pillows and stuff like that, that you would look at and be like, all right, that's like $100 shelf. That's like a $10 pillow. These things are priced at like $15,000.
Jesus.
A little weird. You'd think, all right, maybe people are just price gouging. Then you look at the name of like the shelf, and it has like a person's name in front of it, shelf. You're like, okay, well, that's odd. Well, when you Google that name, it usually comes up with a missing child.
What?
Yeah. So then people started getting a little bit more like detective-y on this shit, and they ended up going to some Russian version of Google, typing the SKU in, and when you type the SKU in, which is like the product code, to the Russian site, it brings you pictures of like kids in bathing suits and shit. Now, I clearly have not tried that because that's sketchy. That could be faked. And also, that's just a really good way to end up on the FBI watch list.
Yeah.
So now it got a little deeper recently because a lot of people were saying, well, this is sketchy. Like, something's up here, because Wayfair's initial response was, well, no, those shelves are priced accordingly. Like, they're industrial grade. They're heavy duty. Like, those are some good shelves, man. Those are $15,000 shelves. Then they said, oh, never mind. Error. Deleted all of the stuff, put them back up without the name and without the massive price tag. Seems a little suspicious. A little weird.
That is catchy. So then
Change, a lot of people were trying to do petitions on change.org to get the FBI to look in to Wayfair, and Change won't allow any of those petitions to go through. Because pretty much everyone has come to the conclusion Wayfair is not a fucking pedophile ring. Like, it's all super circumstantial evidence at best.
That's sketch. I haven't heard anything about that.
It's sketch. Look it up. It's a little wild. The thing that, like, immediately I was like, well, there's no way this could be real, is, yeah, there's the idea of, like, hiding, like, things in plain sight and everything, but not a ginormous, like, human trafficking ring on the most pop, one of the most popular sites on the internet. Like, that's too easy to find. It took like two Twitter follow people to figure it out.
Jesus. Yeah, I'll have to look more into that to kind of.
There was one girl that was used as an example that was missing, and she ended up posting a video on Twitter. And she was like, how the fuck would you feel if you got to seeing that you're missing because of Wayfair? It feels like shit. I ain't missing. I'm like, well, there's your evidence.
Some weird shit.
This has been a wild year. And my take is Wayfair's probably not selling children.
Well, let's hope not.
I think we should be focusing on the more obvious pedophile ring that is sitting in a jail cell as we speak, rather than Wayfair.
Yeah, I don't think you need to go after, again, I mean, I should probably look into it more, but
let's follow up on making sure Maxwell stays alive rather than outing Wayfair for not selling kids, but selling overpriced furniture.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's fair.
Crazy.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to sign off. Thank you all for listening. Go to Twitter and follow us at Dylan Ryan FT and at Phil Buckets FT. And once again, follow us on for Frosty Talks at Frosty_Talks. And visit the website, support some small business, and maybe buy a hoodie while you're there. We put up a new t-shirt, the Hammer the Puck Line shirt. Looks pretty good, and it'll definitely get you geared up and fired up for the NHL season.
Let's go.
So, yeah, with that, thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
This is for my Instagram models. Eating up the cake, watch it go right to your bottom. You should get a new job, holla at McDonald's. Listen when I speak, baby, you can write a novel. The way I spit flows, put you in a pickle, cause I did it with no label. Got a crystal ball, Bonnie Luck, cause I already got them pesos. It's simple, treat them like Kinko's, cause they only trying to copy me. Last I checked, you ain't some handsome devil with a college degree. But you think you can have your cake and eat it too? Well, tell me why these pretty women never leave with you. I even ask your mom and pops and they like, we approve. That's why your girlfriend's screaming out my name. I call that Beetlejuice. Cause I'm the one she choosing as her prep. France, Minnesota women show me love like I was Kevin. Pull up in your city, I can swear that's no exception. Get up in my Xbox, cause I'm well connected. I know some people that they used to hate. 20 women in my trailer like I'm moving weight. Yeah, no wonder why we celebrate. Hold up, you ain't invited, homie. You can bake a cake, 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 cake. Homie, you can bake a cake, 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 cake. Yeah, they wanna talk, but I don't wanna conversate. Watch these.